Welcome to Pop Culture Podcast. My name is Spencer, and for those of you who are new or just don't know, this podcast is basically just an audio version of my videos over on YouTube, which you can find if you go over to YouTube and type in the search bar at The Film Punch. If for whatever reason you can't find me over there, you can also head over to my Instagram page, which is also conveniently named at The Film Punch, and the link in the bio should take you where you need to go. As for this episode today, I only have one review for you, and that is for 2022's Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody. What a mouthful of a title for that film. But yeah, just the one review for you today because that review went on longer than expected. Plus, for those of you who don't know, this podcast will be ending on episode 200, which I'm shooting to come out around February, early February of 2023, which is coming up fairly soon. Think there will be a bit of a gap between 199 and 200. But yeah, pretty much all the content is over on YouTube. Not only can you find the video forms over there, but you can also get it earlier. So highly recommend going over there and subscribing. I would very much appreciate it. But yeah, let's not delay this any further. Let's thank the sponsors and get into the review. This episode is sponsored by Audible, which if you don't know, has a great selection of audiobooks, originals, and podcasts. And right now, if you go to www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast, you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Plus, which lets you listen to a selection of audiobooks, originals, sleep tracks, meditation programs, and podcasts. Or you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Premium Plus, which gives you all of that from Audible Plus, as well as one free title per month from an extended selection of bestsellers and new releases. And you own those, so that's awesome. So yeah, if you want to go get that 30-day free trial of Audible, that website is www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast. Now on with the show.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Alright, so 2022's Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody is directed by Cassie Lemons, written by Anthony McCartan, and stars Naomi Ackie as Whitney Houston. And you might be wondering, why such a long title for this movie? Personally, I don't know. I don't know what the thought process was there. It's an overly long title. It was just I Want to Dance with Somebody to begin with, but I think they needed the name recognition of Whitney Houston in the title, so that explains that, but again, you know, long titles like that are usually reserved for, like, Lord of the Rings. Like, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring. No, it's like, Lord of the Whitney Houston, Fellowship of the Dancing with Somebody. That was a stupid joke, I'm sorry. But yeah, Naomi Ackie plays Whitney Houston here. And forgive me for not looking at her IMDb page. I don't know if I've seen her in anything else. In fact, the same goes for, well, actually, same doesn't go for Stanley Tucci, which I'll get to in a second. But for everybody else in this film, I don't know for sure if I've seen them in anything. You know, maybe I have, just need to kind of check it out, which, again, sorry I didn't look that up before. Maybe I could have mentioned, hey, this person's in this, but hey, maybe down in the comments below you can tell me what else some of these actors have been in. But Stanley Tucci, of course, plays Clive Davis, which is, I believe, the manager of Whitney Houston. Is that what you would call it? Kind of like the record manager? I don't know what the official position would be. But yeah, Stanley Tucci, very great in this role for sure. And you know what? I'll save that for a minute. I was about to get into his character, which I'm very excited to do. But we also have Ashton Sanders as Bobby Brown, Whitney Houston's first and only husband, I believe. I don't know a lot of the history of Whitney Houston, which, again, I will get to in a sec once I get through these actors. We have Tamara Tooney as Sissy Houston, who is the mother to Whitney Houston. We have Clark Peters as John Houston, the father, obviously. And then Nafessa Williams as Robin Crawford, best friend to Whitney Houston, which I'll kind of unpack in a minute there. But yeah, I mean, first thing I will say is that I feel like this movie should work more than it does. At times, the music really does tell the story, but at times it kind of tells the story a little too much, because in this film, there's quite a few songs where they kind of play it from like literally start to finish. And when you do that so many times, you take up a lot of time to actually develop characters naturally, and it's not like you're developing characters over the course of this story, because it's already, it's based on a true story. It's real events that happen to people. So, you have to have the natural progression of events. And like the Elvis movie, which I will compare this movie to quite a bit because it's the other biopic that came out this year. But similar to that, it feels like it just takes snapshots, and it's almost, what's the word I used in that review? Kind of like a montage throughout events. Not as much, in this film particularly, I Want to Dance with Somebody, it doesn't feel as much like a montage as Elvis did, but it also at times just feels like it doesn't let the actual events breathe. It doesn't let the characters breathe. It doesn't really have any natural progression. It feels like things are just kind of happening. And as, again, because this takes place over the span of many years, and you see her just starting to get older and, start to look different. And, I don't know, you just start to see her like that sometimes, and you're like, oh, she's just having a bad day. But it's like, no, this is what she's starting to look like. And there's just a lot of elements of her life that I feel like weren't focused on enough, weren't heightened. I mean, by the way, I will mention this already so I don't forget, but Top 10 Things I Want to Dance with Somebody Got Factually Right and Wrong by Miss Mojo is a video I watched before doing this review. And there's definitely some things they got right, some very important things, but there's a lot of really important things, at least to me, and I won't say what any of those things are. Go check out that video. But there's a lot of things that I feel like they left out that would have been very beneficial to the story and would have felt, it would have helped that natural progression throughout her life and would have made some things make a little more sense and some dots kind of connect a little more. Because even when it comes down to obviously when it comes to Whitney Houston, she had issues with drugs, and I feel like that is just at times, because at first I liked it because they were subtle with it, and it's just like, if you know about Whitney Houston, then you kind of know what's going on under the surface, and you like see small glimpses of things that are like, oh, okay, I know what she's doing. But like to younger audiences who don't really know much about Whitney Houston, and to younger audiences who don't know much about drugs, hopefully, there's certain things you'll see in there where it's just like, I don't really know what that's supposed to be. Is she just smoking tobacco? And it's just like, well, I don't really know the history of it, so I don't really know what's going on. And, obviously when it comes to the story, when it gets to a certain point and it gets very serious with that aspect of her life, you don't have that natural progression. It feels like it comes out of nowhere, at least when I put my mindset in the mind of somebody who literally just doesn't know anything about Whitney Houston. Which, again, I'll be honest, I don't know a whole lot about Whitney Houston. There's definitely things I learned about her in here. And, when it comes to movies like this, you never know how much of it is true. I mean, that really goes for any movie based on a true story or based on anybody's life, especially somebody like this who, still has family around and, can say certain things. Like, when it comes to Queen, or Bohemian Rhapsody, I should say, there are certain things that the band members probably left out. I'm sure I've heard stuff about that, certain things that they didn't want highlighted about his life, Freddie Mercury's life, just for the sake of, respect for him, which I understand, but I also like accuracy. I also like to, understand what the person was going through, and I don't think this movie fully captured exactly what she was going through in a way that would make sense to people that don't know much about her, if that makes sense. It's definitely one of those movies where it's like, you need to know a decent amount about her going into it to fully understand what's going on. And whereas, excuse me, with Elvis, I guess it's a little different because Elvis is Elvis. And, I knew stuff about him because my grandparents, liked him for the most part. And, I went to, fun fact for you, I went to Vegas at 9 years old. So, You know, Viva Las Vegas. Elvis is, you know, he's insane. He's one of those people that everybody knows about, even, you know, super young people, younger than me, probably even, I don't know, 6 to 7 year olds. I'm sure there's some that would say, oh yeah, I know who Elvis is. They probably don't know much about him. They probably know maybe like one song, but you know, a lot of people know Elvis and not as many people know Whitney Houston, especially in this day and age with our new generation, I guess you can say. It's not like her music isn't highlighted as much. Of course, everybody knows her music. At least I Want to Dance with Somebody or I Will Always Love You. Like those are her two most famous songs, of course. But like there's other ones where, you know, people younger than me probably won't know it. And, you know, there's even instances where they probably know the song word, but they don't know who sang it. And I don't know, I would have just liked for this movie to kind of highlight that for the people that don't know much about her, you know, me included, I guess. But like for the people that really just don't know anything about her, it doesn't do a whole lot of favors in some very important instances. That being said, there are some things that you learn about her, which, you know, some of it being actually true, you know, factually correct, that I did not know before. And then there's some things in there involving Robin Crawford, you know, which, you know, there's speculation and stuff. There's a lot of different people saying a lot of different things about, you know, her sexuality, Whitney Houston's sexuality. And in this movie, Robin Crawford starts off as kind of like a lover. And I don't know. It's weird with that. And then, trust me, I'm not like homophobic or anything like that. And I'm not saying that, you know, to defend myself, even though I am, you know what I mean? homophobic, people say I'm not homophobic, but seriously, I'm not. The thing about it is, when I look into, like, the history of it, and not just what her family's saying, because, like, her mother was saying that she didn't think anything was going on, and she wouldn't be okay with her daughter being gay, you know, there's mainly with that in particular, I just am left questioning how much of it is true. I think a lot of those aspects were probably just, you know, made for the movie, because I don't really know if there's a whole lot actually known about that side of their relationship. So I'm guessing a lot of the movie aspects are probably most likely, at least with the romantic aspects, maybe not completely true. It's really just a theory. Whereas with somebody like Freddie Mercury, a lot less of a theory. But I don't know, with that aspect, it's still one of those gray areas where people aren't completely sure. It's kind of a theory, and the fact that they put it in there, I mean, it makes sense why they would put it in there, but at the same time, having it not be like confirmed, I guess, just don't know how true it is. So that's kind of one, I wouldn't even know if it's a complaint. I wouldn't really call it a complaint, but, I don't know. And then there's Ashton Sanders as Bobby Brown. Okay. I don't want to come off as rude towards this actor, because I have never acted in this capacity whatsoever, and I probably wouldn't be great. I'm not saying I could do better, but there are moments in this movie, I'm pretty sure it's his character, where he's like, there's serious moments in his character I just cannot take seriously. And I'm forgetting exactly what moment it was, but there's one particular, like, supposed to be taken seriously moment that I'm pretty sure involved his character that I just could not take seriously because of its delivery. Maybe it was the dialogue that was given to them, not so great dialogue, but I don't know. that's all I'll say about that. When it comes to Ashton Sanders as Bobby Brown, I didn't mind that aspect of it. Obviously, you know, since it's Whitney Houston's husband, that had to be included in there. But it at times kind of felt like an afterthought, and didn't really feel like it had any focus on it. And, you know, their relationship just didn't feel genuine whatsoever, because you just didn't spend enough time with them really and have those genuine moments. And that's why, like, in movies like this, in movies in general, I love genuine moments, because those moments, more than anything, you know, develop the character to a whole new level, more than, you know, really any sacrifice or action scene or really, like, you know what I mean? When it comes to, like, excuse me, when it comes to, like, Black Widow, spoiler alert for Avengers Endgame, but when Black Widow sacrifices herself, that's different character development as opposed to, like, something maybe in Whiplash, where, you know, there's that one scene, and if you've seen Whiplash, you know what I'm talking about, where Miles Teller's character, you just see his eyes, and then he's looking over at Fletcher, J.K. Simmons' character, and he can't see Fletcher's face other than his eyes, but you can tell he's smiling because he's proud, and then you can tell that Miles Teller is smiling too, or no, I think you can actually see his full face, but it's like small moments like that, just little pieces of character development, and then just like even moments just where people are talking, just talking and having conversations and just being normal people, because I don't know, I like that kind of stuff. Sometimes it can be overdone in some movies where it's just like, oh, this is just kind of a sitting around and talking kind of movie, huh? But I mean, I would have liked some of those moments in here rather than having, you know, maybe 4 to 5, possibly 6 full Whitney Houston songs in this film, which does take up a decent amount of the runtime. It's about like 2 hours, 14 minutes or so, possibly. All I know is I went into the movie around like 5:15, maybe started around like 5:20 something, maybe 5:25, closer to 5:30, and then got out around 8-ish. So, decently long movie, but honestly, I feel like it maybe should have even been a little bit longer to really kind of put more of the detail that it needed to be in there. I don't know. But there's a documentary out there called Whitney. I haven't watched the documentary, but I have a feeling that documentary will do better in telling the story of her life as opposed to this movie. Excuse me. Cold season, it's not fun right now. I apologize. But yeah, I mean, if you're really trying to learn something about her, if you don't know much about her, then I would recommend that documentary most likely over this movie. If you do know stuff about her, then maybe you'll like this movie, but at the same time, that documentary sounds like it might not be a bad route to go, so I might end up checking that out at some point. But yeah, speaking of Whiplash, I actually want to review that soon. That'll probably be like one of the next few reviews I do. We'll see, actually, because Christmas is coming and I want to do a Christmas review. Completely off topic, I'm sorry. But let me see here. When it comes to her parents, Clark Peters as John Houston, I think he does a good job. But the father in particular, I mean, if you don't know this, he's a complete piece of shit. And yeah, he pulled that off pretty well, so props. Let me see here. Oh yeah, Nafessa Williams as Robin Crawford, by the way, she had a really great few really great, like, kind of powerful moments in here, one in particular, which I won't mention, obviously, because spoilers, but, yeah, Tamara Tooney is the one that really stands out to me in terms of, like, the supporting cast, aside from Stanley Tucci, of course, as Clive Davis, but, she stands out the most because of just her love for her daughter. There's a particular moment where Whitney is, like, performing on TV for the first time, and the music is too slow for her, and so you just see her mom in the back, and I hate to give this moment away, but you just see her mom in the back kind of like conducting the pianist and I think there was probably like guitars and maybe drums too going, but yeah, she was like basically conducting them to like go faster so her daughter could actually bring out, you know, her powerful voice, and I was just like, oh, I love it so much. You know, there's a few moments with her mother in particular that just really got me. I was just like, damn, this woman knows how to act. And it's just like, you can buy her as her mother. You really can. I think she has a few really powerful moments in here. But yeah, Stanley Tucci, of course, you know, I love him. I love Stanley Tucci, you know, the Beats Pill. You know, if you've seen Transformers Age of Extinction, you know what I'm talking about. But yeah, at times he really does feel sidelined, whereas I feel like he kind of should have had a little bit more of a prominent role. But again, he's just kind of like the manager at the end of the day. So he has a few really great moments in there, some of which I'm not really sure are real or not. One in particular, I don't know for sure if it actually happened because it wasn't covered in that Miss Mojo video I watched. But yeah, I don't know. He has his moments for sure. I really like it. Like him in this role particularly. And his character stands out as opposed to some of the other, you know, kind of managers from other biopics, because he wasn't a bad guy, at least from how this film is depicting. I don't know how he was in real life, but at least in this film, you know, he seemed like a really genuinely good guy. And yeah, respect to Stanley Tucci for playing him that well. Yeah, he brought a lot to that character, and I very much enjoyed him. So, but yeah, the real standout, of course, I mean, Naomi Aki, I think she's fantastic. I do think she should win an award for this role. Now, again, I'm going to compare it to Elvis. Is her performance as Whitney Houston as compelling as Austin Butler's performance as Elvis? Not because it's a female artist, not because it's an actress, but I find myself more compelled by him as Elvis because, I don't know, I just know more about Elvis, I guess, at the end of the day, is the reason why. Elvis is the person that I knew more about going into the movie. And, he's the kind of presence I was more familiar with going into it, as opposed to Whitney Houston. You know, I knew her music going into it, of course, but I never really looked too deep into, you know, really her life or much of her music. I always knew the classics. I Want to Dance with Somebody, I Will Always Love You, of course. But pretty much most of the biopics that I've seen are of artists that I'm familiar with. And I will list them off, actually. Johnny Cash, or not Johnny Cash, but Walk the Line. Johnny Cash, I was for the most part familiar before, but, you know, I won't lie, a lot of these artists I actually got more into after watching the movies. So the same might go for Whitney Houston, but as of right now, it's been a few hours since I watched the movie. I haven't really had the urge to listen to anything because, honestly, I feel like I already listened to a full album of Whitney Houston. So I think I had my fill for today. Not that I don't like it, but not particularly my type of music. Where was I going with that? Gosh darn it. Oh yeah, but the biopics I've seen, Walk the Line, which, again, didn't really listen to much of Johnny Cash before that. I think the one I watched after that would be Bohemian Rhapsody. Queen, of course, is somebody, or a band I was familiar with before, but not quite to the extent as I was after watching the movie, and quite as obsessed with after watching. Which, you know, I wouldn't say really any of these biopics I've mentioned are perfect films. And I would say that a lot of the films kind of follow the same formula that Walk the Line kind of set at, because I haven't really seen many biopics before, you know, that came out before Walk the Line. But it kind of feels like Walk the Line kind of set the standard for, you know, these types of biopic films. And ever since then, it feels like a lot of them kind of follow that formula. Does this movie in particular follow the formula? Not quite, because it has a lot different of a story, whereas something like Bohemian Rhapsody and Rocketman have very kind of similar paths for their artists. Same goes for Elvis, honestly. But yeah, I've also seen Rocketman, which has a very similar vibe to Bohemian Rhapsody. And then I think after Rocketman is when I finally checked out The Dirt on Netflix, which is the biopic about Motley Crue, which is a band I very much like, and I would recommend checking out that movie, as crazy as it is. And yes, Machine Gun Kelly does play Tommy Jones. What's his name? Is it Tommy Lee? No, not Tommy Lee Jones. Just Tommy Lee. There we go. The cast, I would say, for the most part, is really good. It's a crazy movie. Might not be for you, but I enjoy it. Maybe I'll review that for the channel at some point. But yeah, obviously, Elvis, watched that earlier this year. What would be my favorite biopic? Probably Bohemian Rhapsody, even though, again, it's not like the greatest movie. I would say Walk the Line is probably the better movie than Bohemian Rhapsody. But me being a huge Queen fan, that one just stands out all above the rest. So Yeah, let me see if I have any other notes on this movie. I don't think I do. No, I think I pretty much said everything I want to say. There are moments in here, one last thing I'll say, that really got to me, really made me tear up. I wasn't like ugly crying, which is something I do pretty often when it comes to movies, to be honest. But yeah, I wasn't like ugly crying, but it was tearing, having me tear up quite a bit, especially in the singing scenes. Yes, they might play the full song in the movie, but that whole time you're just mesmerized by the vo by her voice. And I'm not completely sure if it's Naomi Ackie singing. I think so. I would hope so. Maybe it's a little bit of both, because that's a pretty common thing in these movies, is to have, audio from not only the real singer but the actor as well. So yeah, maybe there's a little bit of both in there. But yeah, the singing in here is incredible. Brought me to tears at points, honestly, especially early on. Those first few songs really got to me. And especially, I think it was the very first song that she sang that I'm pretty sure was actually by her mother, that really got to me more than any of them. Which, by the way, Whitney Houston, for those of you who don't know, she comes from a family of singers. So yeah, she has, she kind of said at moments she has like famous relatives and stuff, so that's kind of cool. But yeah, let me see here. There's moments in here that also give me goosebumps, again, mostly with the singing moments. But the national anthem scene in particular is one that stands out all above all the rest in this entire film for me. It's Whitney Houston doing the national anthem. It's one of the most iconic moments of all time, and sadly, that's one of the moments that they don't really full show the full moment of. They don't show the full clip, which is disappointing, because I feel like of all of them, that should be the one that you show in its entirety. But hey, that's just me. Maybe it would be really hard to do because they probably were dealing with a limited effects budget. There are moments where they use digital effects in here and they don't look fantastic, but they're used very sparingly because, again, they don't have that much of a budget for this. They're lucky to get the budget they did to have as much of an audience as they did for some of these shots. But yeah, overall, when it comes to this movie ranking system, I'll run you through it real quick. We have the premium tickets, worth paying extra for, makes your ticket seem like a bargain. So, maybe go see it in IMAX or on the bigger screen, which this movie I don't think you can. But yeah, premium ticket, standard ticket, worth the price of admission. We have discounted ticket, worth watching on a discounted price, and free ticket, worth watching if it's free. I would probably give this a discounted ticket, to be honest. Not a movie I plan on really watching again, unless it would make for good content in the future, which I don't really see, me having to talk about this movie again in any facet. But maybe I'll do like a ranking or something like that for biopic movies about musicians and artists and whatnot. So yeah, maybe I'll end up talking about it again in that video, if I ever make that. Probably wait for a few more biopics to come out before I do that, though. But yeah, what did you think of Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody? I'm just gonna title it I Want to Dance with Somebody Review, because I'm not doing that many characters for my title of this video. But yeah, what do you think of the movie? Did you love it? Did you hate it? Are you in the middle? I didn't love it, didn't hate it. I'm yeah, in the middle. There's aspects I liked about it, aspects I didn't like, kind of neck and neck there. But yeah, have you not seen the movie? Are you planning on watching it anytime soon? Why or why not? Are you gonna watch it before Christmas? I wouldn't rush to the theater to do it. But hey, if you're really craving for this Whitney Houston movie, then you go out there and do it and brave the storm like I did. Which do I regret? Not completely, but yeah, driving home was not fun. Which, by the way, I live in the Midwest, and honestly, all over the states right now, we got crazy weather. But here especially, I think the movie started, I think I said this earlier, but the movie started around like 5:15. And at that point, we were just starting to get like little speckles of just like water essentially on my windshield. And then when it came out, it was insane. It was very snowy, to say the least. Getting around, you know, turns, and sorry, I'm making this video longer just by rambling, but getting around turns was kind of crazy and had me slipping and sliding around a little bit. But luckily I am home safe and don't plan on going anywhere today as of this being posted Friday. So just going to hunker down, and storm's going to be going throughout the rest of the day and then tomorrow and whatnot. But yeah, I got the chance to watch this one and another particular movie that I will have my review up for tomorrow. So keep your eyes open for that. I'm sure you already know what the movie is, but trying to think if I have anything else to say. Oh yeah, glad I got through this whole video too before, you know, the power went out, because again, hopefully it doesn't, or no, I didn't, not again, because I didn't say anything before. But yeah, we got a little bit of a power outage not too long ago. It only went out for a few seconds, but got some heavy wind and stuff, so glad I got through this whole video. But I'm gonna end it here because I just keep rambling on, and I'm never gonna stop if I don't end it now. So thank you all for watching. Leave a like on the video, subscribe, hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload, and I will see you in the next one. Thank you all so much for listening. Once again, I am on YouTube and Instagram at The Film Punch, also on Facebook at The Film Punch, but honestly, I use Instagram and YouTube more than Facebook. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to follow me over on Facebook, go right ahead. But, yeah, I mean, you're going to get more from me over at my Instagram page or my YouTube especially. I also have a separate Instagram page called At The Film Sensei if you want to go follow that. I don't post there very often, but, I mean, you can do it if you want. And yeah, it's the end of the episode, so this is the point where I just kind of ramble about whatever I want, and today I want to ramble about the weather. I'm sure a lot of you who live in the U.S. Have been experiencing this crazy winter storm. My battery's really low. I'm at 10%, so I'm trying not to go on like too long here. But yeah, we got quite a bit of snow here right now. It's a little crazy. Literally, as I'm recording this, I watched I Want to Dance with Somebody maybe like, I don't know, 5 hours ago. Excuse me. Got out of the movie maybe 5 hours ago or so, roughly. And yeah, it was not too fun driving home. I made one stop along the way just to kind of grab a couple snacks so I can hunker down tomorrow, which tomorrow will be Friday for me, which will be the day this review, or not review, but well, wait, no. I think this will come out on Saturday, actually, right? Yeah, this will come out on Saturday, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, this, right? No. This will come out on, yeah, this will come out on Saturday, but the video form will come out on Friday. Just had to think about that for a second. But by the way, the next review will be for Puss in Boots: The Last Wish, which I'm very excited to talk about on this podcast and also on the YouTube channel especially, but yeah, I've heard it's very good, and we'll get into that when I get into that. But, yeah, about the weather here, and I'm just checking my battery here. 9%, not too bad. I can manage. Yeah, it's been insane with just the wind, especially. The power got knocked out for maybe like 2 seconds tops. I was like literally standing downstairs, talking to some of my roommates, and the power just immediately went out, which was pretty insane. But it came out, or it came back pretty quickly. Like I said, I hope it doesn't go out again. The wind hasn't been too bad. It's the wind I'm really worried about, that'll really take the power out. And I don't know about tomorrow either. So we'll see if I'll be able to get that review for Puss in Boots: The Last Wish recorded, and if we'll still have power. I really hope so, because if you guys have been listening for a little bit, not too long ago, we got a power outage because of a thunderstorm, and yeah, that was not fun. We were without power for about maybe a day and a half to 2 days or so. We lost a lot of like food, especially in the freezer and fridge, but you know, we're still fortunate here for sure, because there's people that don't have that kind of stuff, like freezers even. So it's like, you know, we
lose some food, but at the same time, it's going to waste. So it's unfortunate for sure, but especially in the winter, it's just a scary thing. The idea of losing power for a long period of time or extended period of time, just with how cold it is, especially, I mean, soon, I think it's, we're going to be nearing like negative 20 soon within the next, maybe not even week or so. And I'm really worried about that, but Christmas is coming up. I'm going to try to keep a positive spirit. I might review maybe 1 to 2 Christmas movies. I will be at home on Friday, and I don't know if I'll even have time for it, to be honest. I might have room for like 2 reviews tops, but I won't have a whole lot of time on Saturday to really watch a whole lot. So maybe, I don't know. I'll probably end up just doing like a Home Alone 1 and 2 review, even though it's kind of lame. I don't know. Is it worth my time to even do that? I don't think that'll get a whole lot of views even. I don't know if it'll be worth it. Not to sound like I'm view hungry, but, you know, if I'm not too excited about doing something and I don't think it's going to get a whole lot of views, then what's the point? But I don't know. Maybe there's some other Christmas movie I could review. I mean, I literally bought some Christmas movies to watch, like National Lampoon's and Polar Express. What else do I have? I think I have, yeah, I have both Home Alone movies. I have How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I have Die Hard. I could watch that if I wanted to, just for the meme of it, which I might end up doing that, honestly. I might just review that and call it good. Have that review come out on Christmas Day, maybe. I don't know. I'm just kind of thinking out loud here, but yeah, I mean, I'll probably have time to do that on Friday. Maybe watch at least 1 Christmas movie, because I'm sure, you know, Friday being tomorrow / today, because it's 2:41 in the morning, I'm pretty sure I'll have to go out and shovel for sure. And the snow is just going to keep on coming, so I'll probably have to shovel more than once, and I'm not looking forward to that, but at least I don't really have a whole lot to do throughout the day. Maybe I can get a couple things done if I'm lucky. I will definitely try, but we shall see. It might not be as festive as Halloween in terms of my reviews, but it is what it is, I guess. It's just kind of how it went. I was going to do a whole like 12 days of Christmas reviews, but with the releases of this movie, I Want to Dance with Somebody, Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, and then Avatar, The Way of Water, I was just like, you know, I can't have 12 consecutive days of Christmas reviews when I have these to review as well. And plus, I was fortunate with my review for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, you know, having that be a recent topic, as well as Man of Steel, having those be recent topics in the news. You know, those videos did pretty well. And then my review for Everything Everywhere did very well as well. But yeah, I'm very happy about that. Things are on the up and up, and I'm happy. And subscribers are coming in more frequently, and I'm happy about that as well. Things are looking up for YouTube, and, you know, the podcast, sure, it'll be ending soon, but, you know, at the same time, I'm kind of looking forward to being done with this chapter, you know. So I think I'm going to stop rambling now. I'm at about 8% battery, you know, more battery than I thought I would have. But yeah, my throat's kind of getting sore here. Coming with the weather is all this kind of nasty, just ugh, you know. Plus, when I talk for long periods of time without having much hydration, not great for the throat. But yeah, I'm going to wrap it up here. Thank you all so much for listening. Again, in the next episode, I should be reviewing Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. That'll be its own episode, most likely. And then, as I said before, I'll probably try to review 1 to 2 Christmas movies. So over on the YouTube channel, I'll either have the 2 Christmas movies come out on the 23rd and 24th, or I'll just have the 1 Christmas movie review come out on the 25th. And then I'll probably just, you know, as I say, the videos come out the day before they come out on the podcast. But in terms of that, you know, I did it for Halloween and I'll do it for Christmas. I'll have the review come out on Christmas because, you know, that's my gift to you, getting it the same day it comes out in audio form. But yeah, again, going to wrap it up here. Pretty close to a 10-minute outro, but I appreciate you all for listening. For those of you who are even listening at this point, I will see you in the next one.